GameZillaMedia.com.
It's time for the Last Action Podcast!
Pop quiz, hotshot!
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker!
I feel the need for speed!
If speeds, we can kill it.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Come with me if you want to live.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Last Action Podcast. I am LPJ, and I'm joined by a man who goes on cruises just to meet preteen deaf girls and make friends with them. Just friends. It's all platonic. Hovercraft Joe.
I really don't like how you, like, slowly have been turning these, your introductions, if you will, into, like, really controversial jabs involving me, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, I didn't feel like doing the timeline anymore.
Like a couple weeks ago when you said I, like, tell people to call me, like, Big Dick or something and hang out in front of, like, high schools, which had nothing to do with the movie other than the name of the guy.
Yeah, whatever. It still works. People enjoy it. They tell me all the time. They're like, yeah, great intro this week. They call me. I mean, they DM me.
All our 50s of fans.
Sure. You know. Whatever. Okay. We're winding down. Who cares?
Anyways, okay. So we're here. We're doing the first of our two Wheel of Pain movies tonight.
Is this reverse order?
This is technically reverse order, although technically you could release them in whatever order. But well, I just said the first.
Right, so it's going to sound weird. So this one's going out first now.
And this is also a fun one, we should say. I was just going to say it was fun because it's a case of I watched the movie 3 weeks ago at this point.
Yeah.
So
I had a rough week.
Yeah, so our schedule, our recording was thrown off a week, so I watched this movie a while ago. Anyways, we're talking about Speed 2: Cruise Control, which, by the way, I forgot that it had that colon and that little bit of a extra to the title, which I don't know exactly why it has.
Oh, this movie didn't forget that it had a colon.
This movie has nothing to do with cruise control, though. It's on a boat.
Well, it's a cruise ship. And they're trying to control it.
All right. Well, you already sticking up for this movie.
No. Not even a little. I hate this movie. Sorry to tip my hand, guys. This movie sucks.
Cards on the table. Okay. So this movie is released June 13th, 1997. And I can... my background with this is easy. I knew it existed. I had never seen it before. I had always heard it was, you know, one of the worst sequels ever made and just flat out a terrible movie. I had never seen it and never really planned on seeing it. And then I watched it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember when this movie was advertised and I thought to myself, that looks terrible. Keanu Reeves isn't in it. I'm never going to watch that movie ever in my life, ever. And here we are. So this is the first time I've seen it. It will be the last time I've seen it. And yeah, all the negative hype is true, guys.
I should say I watched it on Stars, but I had to sign up for a subscription to Stars to watch it. But I got it for 3 months for $1.99. I just got to remember to, you know what? I need to check and see when because I actually signed up for Stars so I could watch Operation Fortune. So I need to check and see if I'm running thin on my 3 months of $1.99.
Ooh, maybe.
Anyways, yeah. Okay. So this movie has a budget of $160 million. And a domestic gross of $48 million, and then worldwide of $164 million, but I'm sure it still lost a lot of money.
Oh, yes. It had to have. Like, there is... Ugh. Sorry. We'll get into it. I hate this movie.
Okay. Rotten Tomatoes on this is a paltry 4%. Yep. But that is... It's complicated because it's actually lower than the 9% that Beverly Hills Cop 3 got, but it's higher than the 0% that Death Warrant has.
Which, again, unwarranted. Like, Death Warrant is better than zero. Really? Death Warrant isn't better than this movie?
I mean, the only thing that's better about Death Warrant than this movie is that it's shorter.
Right? That already makes it 5 Rotten Tomatoes.
Which, by the way, this movie, if you had asked me now how long it was, I would say conservatively like 8 hours long.
Oh my God, this movie is so long.
But it's only 2 hours.
But it felt so long. Yeah, like there's a solid 40 to 45 minutes where literally nothing happens. They're not even on the boat.
It is kind of that crazy thing because it does feel so... I mean, we've watched plenty of movies on this podcast that are longer than this one. And I mean, if you count out the credits at the end, it's probably just about 2 hours, maybe a little over, maybe a little less. So it's not incredibly long, but it really did feel like I was watching like an 8-part miniseries or something.
Every scene was so long. Every sequence took forever to develop, to just execute. That last scene where the stupid cruise ship is crashing into the shore. They are conservatively crashing for 20 minutes.
Which, by the way, I guess I didn't realize that was a practical effect.
Yes.
And that it actually cost, like, of the budget of the movie, like $25 million went to just that, like, sequence.
Yeah, which is more than the budget of Speed 1.
So we talked about the Rotten Tomatoes. The audience score was 16%, which is obviously pretty low.
Low enough. People, you need to get on board. This movie sucks.
That was diehard Jason Patrick fans.
Jason Patrick sympathizers. How about that?
So top grossing movies of 1997 are number one, another boat movie, Titanic.
I'd say Titanic's better. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. It's close. Number two, Men in Black. And number three, The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
This is a bad year for movies, guys.
I remember. Well, hold on. Wait till you hear the movies we've covered this year.
Okay.
This movie, Speed 2, Cruise Control, comes in 40th in the domestics. It's sure. Early, and I'm messing up. In the domestic box office, other movies we have covered on this podcast from 1997 are number 5, Air Force One. Number 11, Face Off. Number 15, Con Air. Number 34, Spawn. Number 35, Starship Troopers. And number 98, Jackie Chan's First Strike.
Wow. So, okay. I'm not going to change my statement. It's a bad year for movies. However, a lot of the movies on that list are so bad they're good.
Yeah, I mean, there's some solid episodes of the podcast there.
Really? So. Like, really good classic episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were not on the Air Force One episode. So.
I was not, which really, you know what? I would say of the movies I was not on for, that's the one that hurts me the most.
Not Desperado?
Maybe Desperado 2, but but I'd say Air Force One, you know.
Well, and I just want to put it out there for the people who listen to the podcast who aren't LPJ fans, he's not on Air Force One, so go back and listen to that one.
Whatever. Enjoy.
This movie stars Sandra Bullock, Curtin, Jason Patrick, and I'm sure we'll cover it in role reversals, but I think he was, the 200th choice for this role.
Maybe.
And then Willem Dafoe, which is... interesting. And then the only other person I noticed, obviously, was Boba Fett, Jango Fett himself, Temuera Morrison.
Right, yeah. I mean, Joe Morton's in this. He's from the first movie.
Oh, the lead detective. Who has, like, one scene in this?
Yeah. Tim Conway's in it. He's the
He's the driving instructor.
Right, he's in it. He's kind of fine, you know. Other than that,
sorry, while you're talking,
that's
I forgot.
I mean,
I forgot I didn't look up Willem Dafoe's net worth.
That's okay. That's okay. Toon Man makes a special guest appearance in this again. He has a extended role.
Glenn that's the guy at the end of the movie with the boat.
Yep, from the first movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, there's a bunch of random character actors that are known, but you know, nobody worth mentioning.
Okay. All right. Let's get into the net worth then. Let's start with Willem Dafoe, because I just looked him up. Willem Dafoe, he's got that sweet, sweet Sam Raimi Spider-Man money. What do you think for Willem Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe has that sweet, sweet Life Aquatic money, which he's great in. I love him in that movie.
It's a good movie.
I'll go $35
million. So close, $40 million right. for Willem Dafoe. Next up.
Hey, did you hear? He's a bit of a scientist.
That's a genuine laugh, LPJ. Okay, next up, Tamora Morrison. He's got that sweet, sweet Star Wars Episode II Attack of the Clones money. What do you think for Tamora Morrison?
He's got that sweet, sweet... I'm trying not to name a Star Wars movie.
Aquaman,
yes. He's got that sweet, sweet Aquaman money where he plays Aquaman's dad, right?
Yeah.
I've only seen the movie once.
Oh, he's also in the sequel, the I can't remember Aquaman.
I haven't seen it.
Something.
I don't know.
I watched it on Max. It's worth a watch on Max. That's about it. Anyways.
What do you
think for him?
Tamora Morrison, I'm going to go I'll go $10 million.
Only $5 million for Tamora Morrison.
All right, that's fine. You know what? That's fine. He's fine.
Next up, Jason Patrick. He's got that sweet, sweet Lost Boys money.
That's the only movie. Oh, no. I got one. Okay, go.
Okay. And by the PPS, I've never seen Lost Boys. I feel like I should watch it at some point. But I don't know if I like it'll hit the same way because it came out so long ago. Anyways, what do you think for Jason Patrick?
He's got that sweet, sweet narc money.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in the video store. I'll go $2 million.
Ooh, lowballing Jason Patrick. He's got $8 million.
Well, good for him.
And then finally, Sandra Bullock. She's got that sweet, sweet Hope Floats money. The movie that she agreed to do Speed 2 so the studio would pay to make Hope Floats. What do you think for Sandra Bullock?
She got that sweet, sweet Ocean's 8 money, which I've never seen.
Yeah, me neither.
I've never seen any of the ones. She did what? 8? They did a 9 too, right?
No, I think you're...
Hold on. No, see, now I'm looking it up.
No, I definitely think
I'm looking it up now. No, that's it. We're doing it. We're looking up her movies. Listen, I know I don't really have time to kill. We really need to just plow through this episode.
You made that up.
I got stuff to do, but I'm pulling it up right now.
You made that up.
No.
They made one with a cast of women actresses.
They didn't make a sequel to it. Really?
Maybe you're writing a fan fiction sequel.
No, I thought that was the plan. They were going to make 8, 9, and 10.
Well, I don't think it went as well as they wanted to. Anyways, get back to what do you think her net worth is?
Fuck, I don't know, man. Why are you asking me the questions? I'll go $80 million.
Wow. Sandy Bullock, $80
million? I don't
know. $250 million.
Good for her. Good for her.
Okay. Writer, director, what you got?
The writer, quote-unquote, for this movie is a dude named Jeffrey Nathanson. And I don't know who he is. he wrote some stuff. He wrote... Oh, Rush Hour 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. And here you go. He co-wrote Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So that'll tell you something. Yeah. So this movie, this movie went through like 75 different treatments of like what they wanted to do with this. At well, one point, they started
like
using
Graham Yost, like the original writer. Like,
Graham Yost was the original writer of Speed. They didn't even ask him to come back.
I thought he wrote like a treatment, and then like they were like, "Nah, we're gonna go with this story based on a dream that Jan de Bont had."
Yeah, well, I'm sure he wrote, so he had something written for him. But they never really considered it. A lot of this stuff was throwaway from Die Hard movies they didn't make. So they just sort of threw it together. And then Jan de Bont had like a fever dream one night, came up with this thing. And then you get Speed 2. But Jan de Bont directed Speed. He directed Twister, a bunch of other movies too. Cujo, one of the Die Hards. What did he direct the second one? I don't know. I'm so mad at this movie. I hate this movie. He directed Hunt for Red October.
In this opening segment, I will say, of the podcast, you have one thing that you're responsible.
And it's
talking about the director and the writers, and you listed like one movie other than this that Jan de Bont did, and then decided that he directed a Die Hard movie that he didn't direct.
I don't know. This movie sucks, guys. This movie, I hate this. I hate the Wheel of Pain. I hate our listeners. I hate this movie, and I hate it, guys.
I mean, to be fair, though, this movie seems like The Godfather compared to what we're talking about next episode.
Oh, God, I don't even want to think about that right now.
So basically,
I hate this.
Basically, LPJ's saying, pull up Jan de Bont's internet movie database page for you.
Yeah, you'll be impressed? Question mark.
Let's get to the tagline.
There's more.
The taglines for Speed 2: Cruise Control. The first one is 2 thumbs up, which apparently this movie did get 2 thumbs up from Siskel and Ebert, which is kind of wild.
It's okay. They're both dead now.
Oh, this tagline did more research than you did for this podcast from the director of Speed and Twister.
I said Speed and Twister.
Rush Hour hits the water. And then this next one, I guess, is in German or something. It translates to 120 minutes of pure thrills, which is not true, but it says like 120 mutant pure dudes. I don't speak German.
So. That was good. That was close. You were real close there. Good job.
I don't know. I'm laughing now because like I clicked out of the taglines and Internet Movie Database on their page for Speed 2: Cruise Control is like, if more like this movie, and it's giving me Speed, Ballistic, X vs. Sever.
Yep.
Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Wow.
And In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Wow. So if you like shit movies, three more.
Human Centipede 2, The Love Guru, starring Mike Myers? What is happening? All right. Sorry. That was a tangent. You got anything else specifically you want to mention before we get into the plot?
No, I don't.
Buck up, dude. Buck up. We got 2 hours of plot to get through. All right. So here we go. Speed 2: Cruise Control. It starts off with Jason Patrick. He's chasing a truck on a motorcycle. Sandra Bullock happens to be taking her driving exam at the same time. We're cutting in between these two scenes.
At the same time, in roughly the same area of LA.
Yes. Roughly the same area of LA.
Which is asinine.
And we get some hasty exposition dialogue where she talks about breaking up with Keanu Reeves' character from the first movie. And I believe one of the reasons is that he gave her mace and she thought it was perfume. But that kind of seems like it's on her.
Like, hold on. Let me tell you something about her character in this movie. They make her so stupid in this movie. She wasn't this dumb in the other movie.
Mm-hmm.
But like they dumbed her down. She is the biggest idiot in the world in this movie. I hate it. Like they ruined her. Look, don't get me wrong. The characterization in the first movie wasn't exactly, you know,
yeah,
ripe with feelings and emotions and deepness and depth, but she's so stupid in this. She's so dumb. Everything she does is idiotic.
Yeah. And she thinks that a thing of pepper spray was perfume. Okay. Also, she mentions that she thinks that Jason Patrick, her new boyfriend, works on the Beach Patrol, which I believe on that Hulk Hogan album I used to have that me and Jody had, there was a song called Beach Patrol on it. Jody could fact check me on that.
No, that's fine. Did this make you wanna? Did the mention of that make you want to watch past episodes of Pacific Blue?
No, it made me want to watch, what was the Hulk Hogan TV show where he drove a boat around?
Blue Thunder?
Oh, is that what it was called? I don't know. I don't know.
It was something.
But I feel like he had a syndicated TV show.
He did. He was on a boat. There's a lot of boats involved.
All right, we need to stop these tangents. Okay, so then the... by the way, like... Jason Patrick works for the Suicide Squad. Mark, is that reference in the first movie, or do they just make that up? Because it seems to just be the SWAT team, and this is a big SWAT team operation chasing this van down. So what do you think? What do you think is going on with this van? What kind of crime do you think they committed, LBJ? They murder someone? They rob a bank?
You know what? I'm gonna go with. Yeah, we'll say that.
Nope, you're wrong.
Oh, am I?
They stole a bunch of computers.
Oh, is that what happened?
And that's it. It's a truck. They stole a bunch of computers, 1997 style. So it's giant,
big ass boxes with monitors in them. That, you know what? When they fell out of the truck, didn't seem that heavy.
Oh yeah, but everything they're first of all, like, why is a SWAT team involved in chasing down a thing of stolen computers? Like, it makes zero sense. And then, like, all the computers followed anyway, so they all got trashed.
Yeah, it was dumb. Also, how convenient is it that Sandra Bullock's new boyfriend is on the same SWAT team that her old boyfriend was on?
Right, and presumably, so did Keanu Reeves get like a different job or something, or is he no longer on that SWAT team? Or
did he know Jason Patrick?
Yeah, were they both members of the Suicide Squad?
Sure. Did was there some kind of weird love triangle going on prior to this?
No, we got to keep moving. We got to keep moving.
That's more interesting than this movie.
So, so the computers fall out. Also, it seems like Sandra Bullock's driving test is going so poorly that the cops start chasing her. But the van crashes, Jason Patrick arrests the computer dude, and then Sandra Bullock conveniently crashes into a police car, and she somehow ended up exactly where Jason Patrick and the SWAT team were busting the computer thieves.
Yeah, and not arrested, not cited for any kind of tickets.
Yeah. So he kind of reveals the truth where he's like, oh, I'm not on Beach Patrol, I'm part of the SWAT team, and blah, 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 and they kind of argue a little bit. But they decide that, like, the way to save their relationship is to go on a cruise. And listen, I've never been on a cruise. But I thought, like, the thing about cruise ships is that, like, you board, like, on a dock. Because on this one, they drive them all out on a boat to get onto the cruise ship. And I thought it was, like, on a dock because people, like, stand there and wave at you and stuff. But I don't know. That's a question for Jody. He's been on, like, way more cruises than anyone else I know. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, unless maybe they were boarding in a really shallow area where they couldn't pull the boat up and they had to get smaller boats to ferry them out there. I don't know.
Okay. So we're also introduced to Willem Dafoe. He's on the boat, and his, like, defining trait in this movie is that he has long hair, and I thought that was weird. So Jason Patrick, it's also revealed that he has a ring and that he wants to propose to Sandra Bullock while they're on this cruise. And they're hanging out on the cruise deck, on the deck of the cruise ship. Jason Patrick is talking about how he has getting some bad vibes about Willem Dafoe because Willem Dafoe is really concerned about where his golf clubs was. And like Jason Patrick's like, he's not even watching the golf match on the TV. And it's like, well, he is on vacation. Anyways, also, Willem Dafoe has a bunch of jars of leeches.
Which is the stupid, it has no bearing on this whatsoever. I thought maybe they'd come into play at some point. Like,
mm-hmm. What, that he was going to start throwing them at like Jason
Or he'd use them for, you know, like poisoning people or something. But no, they're just leeches because he's got this weird made-up illness, which I have all sorts of issues with.
So he's got jars of leeches, and also the golf clubs were all disguising like bombs, like wires and bombs and shit to make bombs. So the most exciting thing to me about this whole movie was I literally have a note that says, "Whoa, UB40 is on the boat performing," because the band UB40 is on the boat performing.
Yep.
And it leads me to believe, like, oh man, this would have been a lot better if UB40 was still there, like some of the people, like some of the members that didn't get off the boat, you know, and they were like running around and stuff. But and there's also like,
oh, he's losing it, guys. He must really like this movie.
There's also like a lot of diamonds on the boat.
Yes, this is another weird thing. Like, they have this huge vault with people walking around. All right, so let's not the huge vault. So they have people walking around showing off these diamonds. They've got people there on the cruise ship who've paid presumably a fair amount of money to be on this cruise ship, who are then being sold diamonds and necklaces and things on the cruise ship, which is bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Also, we get some more of UB40 performing because I have a note that says, man, this movie's really getting their money's worth out of UB40. And also, as you mentioned in your opening, there's a deaf girl in this movie for no reason. Oh, for no reason, really. No reason. At all.
And Jason Patrick immediately recognizes that she's deaf somehow.
Yeah. And he knows sign language too.
No sign language. And without any prompting whatsoever, gets eye contact with this girl and just starts signing. Like it's a weird, like it's a normal thing to just randomly start talking to a 12-year-old girl from across the table.
Very weird. We got to get going, man.
This movie sucks. Keep going.
I still have like 4 pages.
It's too much. Dude, I got things to do tomorrow. I got to go to bed early. Come on.
All right, let's go. So Jason Patrick's going to propose, but he decides against it. Willem Dafoe sneaks into the engine room and does something. I don't forget what it was. That's literally what my notes says. And then he sneaks onto the bridge.
Oh, that's where he starts placing some of the bombs.
Okay. And then he sneaks onto the bridge and plants something, but I think it was like a transmitter.
It's a transmitter, yeah, so he can get remote controlled access of the computer, which is, again, it doesn't matter. It's stupid. Keep going.
All right, so he also plants bombs in like the command, the communications, and like the power room, and then he goes and relaxes in the bathtub in his cabin and puts the leeches on his body.
Right, and he puts the leeches on his body. We don't find this out till a little bit later, but he's got this weird form of like cancer, like poisoning, that he got from presumably working with electronics and computers.
Yeah, that's how it's explained. Yes, like,
he got copper poisoning, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
Copper poisoning from, did he eat a bunch of copper? Was it woven through his skin? I don't understand. People work with copper all the time. Electricians, you know, mm-hmm. plumbers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of anyone getting copper poisoning. Especially computer programmers.
Or that the only possible treatment for it is to have the leeches like suck the copper out of your body or something?
Leeches suck copper? Didn't know. That's okay. A new thing to me. I'll check WebMD later, but come on.
So then Sandra Bullock and Jason Patrick have like an argument where like Sandra Bullock tells him that she doesn't want to get serious. Who cares? I thought Willem Dafoe killed like the porter guy that came into his room to change the towels, but it's revealed later that he's not dead. So.
Which doesn't make any sense. Why didn't he just kill him?
I don't know. Cause he's not like, I love Willem Dafoe, but he's an awful villain in this. Cause like he lets pretty much all the people get off the boat.
Yep.
I mean, like, he doesn't really kill anybody in this movie.
No, and he had every opportunity to kill Sandra Bullock and didn't do it.
Well, don't even get me started on the Sandra Bullock thing. Because there's like
thing. He should have killed her 4 times over.
Well, I'm going to save my thing on that until we get to the scene.
Go.
So that's when we have a Jango Fett sighting. He's like the
second. He's the
second in command of the cruise ship, right?
He's the first man.
So, yeah. So, and we learned that Willem Dafoe developed all the computer systems for, like, I guess all these, you know, like this cruise ship, but like for the whole like cruise company or whatever. He also throws the captain overboard. So I guess he does kill the captain. That is one person that he kills.
You know, I don't know. You don't see him die.
Yes, but also this movie claims that anybody that falls off a cruise ship is going to get sucked into the engines.
Oh, immediately sucked into the engines. Not even, you don't even have a chance. If you're in the water, you are chopped up.
But it, I'll save it for when it comes up.
Sure.
Because it contradicts itself very.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep going.
Okay. So this is when we find out that the deaf kid has the hots for Jason Patrick and her parents are shitty. Because they're like, you're deaf. But I don't know. I think I just kind of
can't hear us yelling at you.
Yeah. So Willem Dafoe starts controlling the ship from his computer. Everything starts fucking up on the ship. The engines shut down. He calls the bridge and he's like, hey, I'm going to blow up the cruise ship. So you need to start an evacuation.
He calls up the bridge and he's like, I'm the captain now.
Yeah, basically. So Jango Fett sounds the alarm to evacuate the ship, but the deaf girl's stuck in an elevator. Who cares? The boat starts evacuating, and then Jason Patrick goes to the bridge because he's like, I'm an LA cop, tell me what's going on. And they're like, no, they're like, what?
Get the fuck out of here, LA cop. Who cares?
And so Willem Dafoe breaks into the vault and steals all the diamonds.
That was his plan the whole time, right? Stealing all the diamonds.
Steal the diamonds.
And so like he's Hans Gruber.
And so like they were trying to get all the people on the lifeboats while the boat was moving. But there's like one with the deaf girl's parents and like, I don't know, the boat starts moving again and before they can get in the water. So it gets kind of like stuck on the side, I guess. And Jason Patrick tries to save the people on the side.
Well, but it was this thing where they couldn't lower the boat. They couldn't
while
it was moving for some reason. The cruise ship's not moving that fast. It's not like it's going to get ripped up in the water.
Right. And also it was at like a dead stop. So you think it would take a while to get like back up to full speed. So.
Yeah. Especially because like later on in the movie, there's that oil tanker that's at a dead stop.
Yeah.
And it's going to take them 30 minutes to get going again. But this cruise ship, instant go. This thing's like a Tesla, like 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds.
So like Jason Patrick's like, all right, I'm going to help get these people off the boat. And he kind of like jumps out there, but he doesn't seem to have a plan really to help them.
I'm just going to jump on the bottom of this boat. And that's all I got, guys.
So then like Dante decides to help him. Dante's like the boat photographer, I guess. Yeah. We're introduced to him early on. I forgot to mention it, but okay, so they end up saving all the people on the lifeboat. We find out that Willem Dafoe has the boat locked on a course, like to slam into like mountains or a wall or something.
Yeah, to slam into the shore that has a mountain right there.
Okay, so then Jason Patrick figures out that Willem Dafoe is the bad guy because of the golf balls, and I wrote that note and I don't remember how he figures it out from the golf balls.
I don't know.
So they go to Willem Dafoe's cabin. That's when they find out that porter dude is not dead. And they find the bathtub full of leeches. And that's when he's like, oh, Willem Dafoe likes talking to him through the computer. And he's like, I designed the ship for this cruise ship, but I got sick and the company fired me. He got sick with the copper poisoning.
Great. Copper poisoning.
So Jango Fett really doesn't really want Jason Patrick's help, which is like, all right, fair enough. He is just like a random cop on this boat. So.
Sure. And he's probably got Django's probably got his armor. He'll be fine. He's got his Beskar. He's good, guys.
So he is going after Willem Dafoe and Sandra Bullock and Dante. They find some passengers that are trapped on the ship and they can't get this door open. So they're like, oh, how are we going to get this door open? And then Sandra Bullock runs to a closet and there's not one, but two chainsaws.
Yep. On a boat. There's chainsaws, guys. There are chainsaws on a cruise ship in a closet ready to go. So chainsaws. Guys, chainsaws for cutting limbs, cutting trees. Chainsaws.
Yeah, multiple. Because she picks up one and then she's like, I'm going to pick up this other one because it looks better. Okay. So, Jesus, where are we at? So Jason Patrick has this idea where they're like, oh, if we like flood, like, I don't know how cruise ships work, so fucking don't ask me. But he's like, oh, if we flood like part of the boat, like it'll slow it down. It'll slow the boat down. So they decide to do that, but then they find out that the deaf girl is in the room that's going to flood. So he has to go save the deaf girl and stop the boat from flooding. Right?
Yeah, no, you're right. I hate this movie. Keep going.
And then at one point, Willem Dafoe like is just walking around the ship at this point. But I love that he's controlling stuff. It looks like he has a Nintendo
power glove. He has a power glove on. Guys, he's wearing a power glove. That's what he's doing. And he's tapping on it like it's a power glove. Like he's getting ready to save, like he's getting ready to play the wizard. Like it's great.
This is where you can tell my brain was melting while watching this movie. Because instead of writing Willem Dafoe got copper poisoning from working on computer stuff so much, I wrote Willem Dafoe copy copper poisoning.
Oh, yeah. Copy.
Jason Patrick thinks the way to like stop Willem Dafoe is to like shoot computer screens, which doesn't work.
Yep. That'll do it, guys. The off button is through the glass.
And also like this whole time, because they were at like a fancy like dinner with UB40, obviously.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on.
But Sandra Bullock has been wearing heels this whole time, which I'm like, why don't you get rid of those heels, you know? Jango Fett and Sandra Bullock, they rescue, because Jason Patrick gets caught when he's going after
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe traps him in a room and puts like a grenade on the door. Who cares? Jango Fett and Sandra Bullock rescue him. Deaf girl gets back with her family.
Which, by the way, like, they are the stupidest idiots ever with that grenade. Holding it, being real careful. She's holding the clamp down. They have the pin right there. Just put the pin back in. Yeah. Right? Or yeah. They don't even have to do anything. Like, if he opens the door, the wire pulls and pulls the pin out, cut the wire. You don't have to do anything. Just cut the wire.
So, also, again, this is the problem sometimes. I don't remember why, but I wrote a note that says, wait, does Jason Patrick know computer stuff? Because I think he's like talking about computer stuff at some point. So now they find out they were able to change slightly the direction.
Oh, he was messing with the controls, remember? In the engine room.
Right. So the flooding of it was able to kind of change the course a little bit, but now it's headed straight toward an oil tanker. And they're like, well, maybe we can like stop the propeller and that'll, you know, we won't run into it. So they go out and Jason Patrick's going to like, I don't know what he's going to wrap around the propeller, like something. He goes underwater to do it. But Willem Dafoe mucks everything up. And I really laugh because it's like Willem Dafoe's like walking around with the power glove and he's like, oh, the ship's slowing down. What's going on? And then it's like, he literally turns a corner and he's like right where they are.
Yeah. Instantly knows where they're at. And instead of just shooting Sandra Bullock in the back of the head,
mm-hmm.
and cutting the rope or letting it loose for Jason Patrick, he takes her hostage?
Well,
for what reason?
Also question, why does he care if the boat doesn't crash? He's got the diamonds. Yeah. Just leave.
Just leave. Like, got to go.
Why does he care if they stop the boat from crashing? He gets on that like double jet ski thing. Yeah, anyways.
If anything, him leaving now and leaving them with the boat gives him time to get away because they're not going to be worried about him. They're going to worry about trying to stop the boat.
Right. But he doesn't. He kicks Jango Fett into the water and he leaves. He takes Sandra Bullock hostage. Again, weird. So Willem Dafoe leaves the cruise ship on that weird double jet ski thing with Sandra Bullock. Jason Patrick's like, oh, we got to figure out a way to stop the ship. Dante, come with me. And I'm like, huh? And then, like, I don't know. Him and Dante have to turn some kind of wheels, like, to turn the ship, but it's, like, underwater.
I think it's, like, the manual rudder control or something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Do I look like I build boats?
No. So they get the cruise ship to turn just in time, so it doesn't, like, crash into the oil tanker, but it kind of scrapes along the side of it.
Right.
But doesn't crash into it. But now the boat's boat is like headed toward land, and there's like a part where they all realize it's headed toward land, and like eight people say "oh shit" in a row.
Right. Again, here's another issue. Okay, so they've successfully turned the boat. Keep turning the boat. Have it go back out to sea.
Yeah, that's good. Right. So they try and use the anchors to slow the ship down, but it doesn't slow down enough. And here's where I have a logic question. So
just here?
Yeah, just here. So earlier they were like, well, you can't jump off the boat, because if you jump off the boat, you're going to immediately get sucked into the propeller. But while they're cruising through this marina, so many people are jumping out of their boats right in front of the cruise ship.
Yeah.
But they don't, like the scuba divers and all the other stuff, did they get sucked into the propeller, or are they just fine?
I don't know, because I have another bit of logic to question you about, right? I looked up the specs for a ship like this. Mm-hmm. Conservatively, a ship like this, 30 feet of it are below the level of the water, which means if they're in anything less than 30 feet of water, it's going to ground itself and stop moving. Right? Because guess what? The earth is bigger than the boat. It's not going to, it's going to stop it. So as soon as it hits 30 feet or less of water, it's going to just drive itself into the ground and not go anywhere. But this thing continues to crash into the dock area and inland for like 20 minutes.
Well, I also like the fact that when it first hits the land, like Jason Patrick and Jango Fett fly out of the control room.
Why? It didn't slow down.
But yeah, the boat crashes, like you said, conservatively, like 20 minutes of it crashing through this like city. You know, a bunch of stuff gets wrecked. There's some very prominent 7-Eleven product placements.
Oh my God.
And this guy has his car that he really likes, and the boat stops like just before it gets to his fancy car while he's holding this Slurpee. But then the anchor falls out on the dude's car and crushes it.
I hate this movie. Sorry, keep going.
So then we're in the end game now. So Sandra Willem Dafoe are on the weird double jet ski thing. Jason Patrick goes after them.
Hold on, I have another issue. It takes, how long would you think it takes the boat to go from where it's at after it hits the tanker to shore where Jason Patrick finally gets off to chase Willem Dafoe? How much time do you think has passed?
Oh, they should be long gone. But
They should be way long gone.
But I feel like Willem Dafoe's so obsessed with the boat crashing that he gets distracted again, maybe.
And just sits there for 15 minutes? He could have made it to the shore in probably 10 minutes at the most from where they were at and been out of there. I'm sure he had some kind of escape plan, like a car waiting, right? Presumably.
Okay. So, let's just...
Oh, he's at the plane. That's right. He's at the shitty seaplane.
Right. Well, okay. So... backtracking for a second.
Sorry.
Jason Patrick commandeers the boat of the guy from the first movie, Toon Man or whatever.
Toon Man, that's the same.
They chase after Sandra Bullock and Willem Dafoe, who do get in a seaplane. And Jason Patrick shoots the plane with a spear gun. Sandra Bullock throws the bag of diamonds out of the plane. But here's my question, okay? Jason Patrick at this point just trying to get Sandra Bullock back, right?
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe, you're in the plane with the diamonds.
Yeah.
Just push Sandra Bullock out.
Yeah.
Take off in the plane.
Shoot her in the head and dump her body.
Or you don't even have to kill her. Like, just push her out of the plane and take off. Like, yeah. He doesn't still need her as a hostage. You're nope. Literally in the plane with the diamonds. Jason Patrick is only chasing you at this point to get Sandra Bullock back.
Yeah.
Push her into the water. See ya.
Yeah, this movie makes no sense at any point.
But he doesn't. And then, like, the plane, it's weird. It kind of crashes into the oil tanker, but not really. It gets stuck on, like, a flagpole, I guess.
Yeah, which, again, I don't know how exactly that happens.
And then, like, everyone seems to know as soon as this plane crashes on the flagpole that it's going to blow up the whole boat, because everyone just starts jumping off the boat. And then it does, but I guess it's because it's like it's leaking gas and then it blows up and there's oil and I don't know. But basically, it's a big explosion. And I like that Toon Man was like, he wasn't happy at first, but now he's like super invested in the scenario. But also, I should say that Willem Dafoe, there's just like, he just like laughs a lot when they show him when he's like stuck on the flagpole and before it blows up. He's just really laughing a lot.
Sure. That's probably the copper poisoning finally getting to his brain.
So then they recover the backpack full of diamonds. Jason Patrick proposes to Sandra Bullock. She accepts. And then that's the end, with not counting the post-credit sequence where Sandra Bullock's back to retake her driving test with Dorf or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Dorf.
Yeah, that's him. Dorf on driving.
Would it have been better if her driving instructor was Worf?
Ooh, yes. As Worf or just Michael Dorn?
No, like as Worf.
Oh, 100%. 100%. This movie would get maybe 4 machine guns for me if that were the case.
But yeah, that's it. We made it to the end of Speed 2 : Cruise Control. What do you have as far as role reversals?
Well, turns out nobody wanted to do this movie. So Keanu Reeves backed out. Then they tried to get Simon Baker, John Bon Jovi, Patrick Muldoon, Christian Slater, Billy Zane, Matthew McConaughey. They all said no. Finally, Jason Patrick was hired. And then Gary Oldman was going to be Geiger. And he's like, then he read the script. He said, nah, it's cool. I'm going to do Air Force One instead.
Yeah, they said that they offered like Keanu Reeves like $12 million, but like he wanted to make the devil's advocate. And also he like read the script and he's like, nah.
Yeah, I'm good, guys. And so then Fox put out some bad propaganda about him.
Yeah, that it was like he just didn't do the movie because he wanted to tour with Dogstar.
Yeah, which was not the case.
I also liked the little fact that I saw that said like Jason Patrick was like, all right, I'll make the movie, but it's contingent on you making these changes to the script. Yeah. And then he got there to film, and they didn't change anything.
Nope.
And he still had to make the movie. Uh-huh. So that, I thought that was really
funny. Oh, they really screwed him over.
He's like, okay, I'll do it. But it's
every account that I read about, like the different actors' accounts of this, nobody had a good time making this. Like, everyone hated doing this movie.
It was originally budgeted at $100 million, but it says it went over budget to a then staggering $160 million before marketing costs.
Yeah.
So, there was one other thing I saw that. I like the idea that you see. They said that like originally the Willem Dafoe character was written with Robin Williams in mind.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. Guess what? He turned it down.
He said it was because he had other projects he was working on, but
yeah.
And then there's just a lot about the set, the town they designed for the boat to crash into.
Yeah, there was a surprising amount of stuff for this movie.
Well, yeah, but it's none of it's that interesting.
No, it's all just like how they made it and like locations and crap like that. But there was more for me to look at than most movies that we do.
Did you see that, like, and they reference it in here, but like I guess they say that we're going back to like Graham Yost, and I guess his like original idea was that it was like it was on a plane that couldn't ascend above 10,000 yeah. feet. Just like, all right, like, could there be, sure. You think about it, like, I mean, like the first Speed is obviously a good action movie, and it has a clever premise. But it's like, this is like nothing like that. It's like the boat, it's not like the boat can't speed up or slow down or anything like that.
Right.
There's just bombs on it.
It's just a bomb on a boat. It's an episode of MacGyver.
But I feel like there's not even really bombs on the boat because he uses the bombs to do things. But then isn't Jason Patrick like, oh, those fires are all fake. That's like fake smoke. So are there even really bombs on it? And if so,
there are bombs in it.
No, because if so, why doesn't he just, like, when he's mad that they steer it, why doesn't he just blow it up if he's got bombs on it?
Didn't they take the transmitter and stuff?
I don't fucking know. Maybe.
I don't know. All right, let's just write this thing so we can be done with it.
All right.
I don't even know. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. Guys, this movie sucks. It's real bad. Nothing makes sense. It's too fucking long. It takes 40 minutes for them to even get on the boat. The boat has nothing really to do with... It's stupid. The boat's dumb. None of the characters do anything that makes sense. Sandra Bullock is made to be a complete idiot in this. Jason Patrick is unlikable. Willem Dafoe, I like Willem Dafoe, but he's a completely ineffective villain. They don't even stick to their own rules 90% of the time. The boat crashes for 20 minutes. This movie is a train wreck. It is awful. This is easily one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I would never, ever in a million years watch this again. I do not recommend people watch this movie. Don't even talk about this movie. I'm hoping it disappears from the zeitgeist of the world at some point and people forget it exists. I hate this movie. I hate it. I hate it. I'm going to go one machine gun only because I have to have some place to go lower for the next movie we're doing. I hate this.
You captured it very well. And I kind of agree with you on that. This movie's not good and it's not interesting. It's not clever. The plot is dumb. None of the acting's good. The main situation, it doesn't seem like, I mean, I know it's supposed to be, but it's like, I don't know. It's not very, there's no tension really. I don't feel like, cause it's like, I still feel like you could just jump off the boat. Like, I feel like you'd probably be okay. but yeah, it's not good. And it does, like, it's not in actuality that long, but it does seem like the longest movie ever. And I think it's because it's just long stretches where like uninteresting stuff happens that doesn't really pertain to the plot. And Willem Dafoe is a terrible villain. And I like Willem Dafoe, like you said, but his plan, his whole thing is like, it's stupid and it doesn't make sense. It's like, well, does he want to steal the diamonds or does he want to crash the cruise ship? And which one's more important? And if he had bombs, why didn't he just blow a hole in the bottom of the cruise ship when he left? Like, I don't know. Like, his plan is just, I don't know. But I kind of feel the same as you, where it's like, I'm going to give it one machine gun. Just because I wouldn't recommend watching it, but it is kind of funny to watch because it is so bad. But also because I know, you know, like comparing it to some of the worst movies we watch and some of this, what we have to cover next, I think one's a fair assessment of it. So one machine gun for me as well.
Okay, that's fine. This would hurt me, guys. This would hurt me. Not as bad as the next movie.
Hey, dude, this one hurt you. You better get ready.
Oh my God, the next movie took pieces of my soul with it. This movie's bad. The next movie is, I don't even want to talk about it yet. All right, plugs, go.
A plug, Tubi. This movie, as I said, was not on Tubi. It was on Stars. But yeah, Tubi's great. It's got a lot of content on there. Trying to think if there's anything else. Ooh, you know what I do want to plug? And it's kind of late because, you know, whatever. But X-Men 97. Ooh, so man, good. Is that a good show?
Oh, is that a good show? I watched the most recent episode yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, it is so, so good. Oh, yeah. And my 8-year-old, Felix, has been super into watching the original X-Men cartoon. So we've been going back and watching all the episodes. He is very invested in it.
Yeah. Well, I am, you know, like I was always planning on watching it, but I was kind of like, all right, whatever. But it's crazy how good it is. Yeah. So if you're not watching X-Men 97, that's my plug to watch that. How about you, LBJ?
X-Men 97. Agree. Fantastic. I'll just plug the Discord. I don't know why I'm plugging the Discord right now, because that seems to be the cause of all of my problems for today. And the past 3 weeks. I hate all those chuckleheads on Discord right now. I'm not friends with them. I don't recommend anyone interact with them or talk to them. Don't talk to me. I'm surly. I'm going to be even surlier after the next hour. But if you want to join our Discord, go to Instagram. You can find the link there or just search for it. It's on Gamezilla Media, the page there. Yeah, I hope we never do the Wheel of Pain ever again. It's far more painful than I anticipated.
All right. Okay, I think we did it.
Thank God. This episode of the Last Action Podcast has been terminated.
But we'll be back.